I really have a lot of opinions around self-care and how that can turn into an excuse, and how people will manipulate these types of trends to say, oh, I can't prescribe to hustle culture because it's not good for me mentally. Do you think that Jeff Bezos gave a fuck about this idea of hustle culture? It wasn't even in his vocabulary. Same goes for Elon Musk. We are cultivating individuals, and as business owners, I'm sure you can resonate with this, you get to a point where you're like, why are there no good people to hire? And that's a bad way to view the world, but I don't think it's our fault. I think it's because there is this cultural upbringing of saying everybody wins, everybody gets a trophy. That's right. Not life.
Let's link up with Krista on The Fix. She's a wellness coach with a focus on mental well-being and physical strength.
What is happening, Fix listeners? Welcome back to our latest episode of the Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Huber. And this episode, we're flipping the script a little bit. If you have been a longtime listener of the show, you know that most of the time I am the one doing all the interviewing. I should say 95% of the time. But every once in a while, I have the chance to pop on somebody else's podcast. And usually a few weeks or maybe a month or two after that recording airs on my friend's show, I like to bring it over here to you Fix listeners to get the chance to just share a little bit more about my story, a little bit more about my perspectives, and really kind of showcase what it's like to be in the hot seat as the interviewee versus the interviewer. I love my solo episodes because it does give me the opportunity to just kind of go on some rants and talk about what I'm passionate about, what I'm hearing from our clients, give those perspectives. But it's certainly a lot of fun when you have someone else asking you those questions and you have somebody else to just basically bounce ideas and theories off of. And it's especially fun when you have the opportunity to do so with a fellow coach. So today, to set this episode up, what you'll be hearing, what you're tuning into, is a previously recorded episode from the Messy Action Podcast, linked down in the show notes. I strongly encourage all of you to go check out my girl, Courtney. She is just such a light. She is so amazing. Just such a funny person, and I love her energy, and you will hear it in this conversation. She is definitely going to be a guest of the Fix Podcast, and I just know that her story will resonate, and her vibe and all the things will resonate so much with all of you here. And I can't wait to hear reactions from this conversation because we covered a hell of a lot of stuff, you guys. We talked about everything from Ozempic to Weight Watchers to understanding what macronutrients are to perspectives on how to not see everything as quote unquote hard and how to really understand that there's a difference between trying, there's a difference between making an effort, but more specifically, what is realistic in terms of the effort that you're putting in and the timeline you can expect to get certain results. I also had quite the monologue, I will say, on this idea of hustle culture versus balance. Courtney asked me a few questions around this idea of balance and what I think of it. And without spoiling the rest of the episode, I went in on this one and I really, really tried to dissect like where is all of that coming from and why has self-care kind of been perverted into this fluffy thing versus something that we should do as a way to unplug, as a way to recharge, but not as honestly an excuse to just not work hard. And I do not prescribe to this idea that hustle culture is bad. I think there's a time and a place for really pouring into what you are passionate about. That could be your business. That could be certain relationships. That could be your career. And unfortunately, you're a human being, whether that's unfortunate or not, but you can't do everything at once. And I know this concept will resonate with you Fix listeners out there because you guys are go-getters. You like to get after it. You like to attack things, but sometimes, and this is where my coaching really comes in, this is how I see the Fitness Fix fitting into 99% of our clients' lives as being that voice of reason to say, hey, we can't do all these things at once to the nth degree and be amazing at all of them, but can we find some fluidity? Can we find flow? Can we find this place of knowing that there's certain strategies we should use, certain tools we should have in place so that when we want to pour into our nutrition and fitness specifically, we are able to do so in a way that we don't feel like we're sacrificing things, and then also vice versa. And the vice versa is the most important part. Why? Because so many of us out there are way too quick to make this assumption that if you want to achieve your dream body, if you want to lose inches, if you want to build muscle, if you want to lose body fat, you are convinced that you need to sacrifice a million and one things. You don't. But it's also really, really, really key to understand that you're not better off by constantly pouring from an empty cup. And this is where I think that whole balance conversation even came in the first place, but it's just sadly swung too far in the other direction. I discuss how I felt that, and this is just a parallel I've started to draw, that maybe this mentality of participation trophies and everybody winning, and a lot of that was kind of cultivated when I was a kid, is now showing up among people in their 20s and 30s because of the way they were raised, and is only getting worse with some things I see with younger children today. And it's now impacting society's ability to put in effort. And then also our struggle with wanting instant gratification, not being okay with delayed gratification and things of that nature, and how that specifically applies to fitness and nutrition. In the final section of the episode, I also get into my own fitness journey, some things that I happen to be taking messy action on. I talk about when my own fitness has kind of ebbed and flowed, and that I don't always love going to the gym, but you all know that I like to serve realness and transparency up in this podcast. I did the same on Courtney's, and I think this will be fun for all of you to listen to. So shoot me a DM after you hear this one. I'd love to know if any pieces of it in particular resonated with you. I'd also love to know if there's anything that you want me to expand on. There are really great topics in here, and each of them could serve as their own podcast episode. I will likely just go ahead and do them at some point, but it's always nice to hear what's really resonating with you guys specifically. Nice to hear what you want to hear more about, because I'm here to serve the listener and hopefully bring conversations to the table, whether it's my own thoughts of me staring into my camera and talking into this microphone solo, or with the guests that we get to collaborate with on a regular basis. So with that, please enjoy this recording from the Messy Action Podcast with yours truly and my girl, Courtney. For me personally, we said it before we hit record, Courtney, I love combative conversations. I love when we can like get in there and debate shit. And it's not to be like coming in somebody's face, but like, that's where the juicy stuff is. That's where the interesting clips and all those things come from. And it's like, you just sat there and you bit your tongue, and you have followers who listen to you as intently as I do. I am sure that's a very popular podcast.
Oh, 100%.
Like they kind of just like shit the bed on that one because they are opinionated people. And I was like listening, and I just was like, I wanted to like talk to them and be like, Michael, why did you let her say that without challenging her perspective? Like the rest of the episode could have been so interesting and you didn't go there. You just avoided it. They were so quick to be like, oh yeah, there's a time and a place for it. And I'm like, you didn't say that. Oh no,
they chose the middle ground. Even after saying that, that's what, because I know that actually they had the opinion, not completely against it, but just saying like,
they feel strongly that it's, right. And so I was super surprised.
Because that could have been a really good episode, honestly, because I know. So many people would love to have that conversation with the owner, the founder of Weight Watchers, because Weight Watchers has no backbone.
No. And even at the point where they had a really interesting section discussing the idea of like the points and how they work and the concept that like now certain food items are 0 points. Particularly certain types of lean meat like chicken and vegetables. And I was very disappointed because the CEO was explaining that she is able to find flexibility in fitting in her 4 glasses of wine on a random Tuesday night, because what she does earlier in the day to stay within her points is just eat chicken and veggies. And I hear that. And as a coach that works with women around behavioral change and focusing on relationship with food, this is why Weight Watchers fails people. That statement of, oh, if I eat chicken and veggies, then I can have 4 glasses of wine. Wait a second. You're going to drink a whole bottle of wine by yourself? Why are you reaching for that wine? How stressed are you? What is the root cause of that decision? And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that if you eat chicken and vegetables, you can then go ham. And I'm saying that from personal experience. The reason I got a nutrition coach for myself before I became a coach was because I was 22. I was right out of college. And I was going out on the weekends, and I was the classic case of what I call a weekend warrior. I would go out with my friends. I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm from Jersey, and I was trying to meet new people. And one of the ways I knew to meet new people was go out to a bar. So my friends and I would go out to a bar, have a bunch of drinks. I got a lot of muscle. I'm not a skinny girl, and I could easily drink 5-6 drinks and still feel okay. So I had no idea the kind of calories I was consuming that would turn into going home at 2 a.m. What happens next? We have our pizza, because that sounds really good when you're drunk and have the munchies.
Always.
Fast forward to Monday. What did I do? Salads and chicken all week long, only to then get back on that hamster wheel of being the woman who would go to the gym and train like an animal and train like a beast. I loved working out. That was never my problem, so to speak. I'd actually even say, as a side note, I've had more of a struggle in the last 2 years still prioritizing my training, because I've liked it less and less as I've gotten busier in my life. Whereas back then at 22, I always tell people stress was low. I had a job. I was like living my life just post-grad, like things were good. And I felt like I had this great routine, but I could not understand why I was pushing myself in the gym, lifting heavy. I had a personal trainer. I was taking group fitness classes, and yet I didn't have abs. And at the time, I felt like for the effort I was putting into the gym, I should have abs. There was such a mismatch. Well, you uncover a whole lot of self-awareness when you start tracking your food and working with a coach and having someone have that objectivity around what you're actually doing. And little did I know, I was blowing my calories out of the water on Fridays and Saturdays, only to then turn around and restrict it on Monday, but keep doing the same thing every single weekend. You know those pictures of like the little charts where it's like the person with the salad emojis and then like the wine and the pizza?
Yes.
And they show you, like, yes, I was the person.
Literally changes for the weekend.
Yes. I was the person who, where ideally the sweet spot is to have like the one little pizza in there. I was the one where it was complete opposite on the weekend.
I literally know exactly what you're talking about.
Right? Yeah, that was me. So that's really what influenced my decision to recognize that I needed help on the nutrition side of things to get to where I wanted to go.
Oh, I freaking love that. And obviously that speaks to exactly like my clientele. Like my girls are facing the exact same thing post-grad. That's what they're used to. And it's always like, I want to meet new people. I want to be social. Sure. How do I actually show up to that and stick to what I know? And going back to what you're talking about with Weight Watchers, like it is so unfortunate that she's painting that picture that would be okay, because it's not okay. Like you just painted the exact picture that was showing, hey, this doesn't actually work out to help us reach our goals. And to also know, Weight Watchers did not used to count those things as zero. So back to me saying they don't have a backbone, how did that change? And I've had multiple conversations. Why did that change? Exactly. And I've had multiple conversations with people about Weight Watchers saying, and I always love to go into those conversations with a very open mind, right?
Because for sure.
If it does work for someone, it works for someone.
And my best clients are previous Weight Watchers clients.
Right. And like, you can't neglect that is working for them, but totally. You can be inquisitive and say, is this something you can do for the rest of your life? Is this something you're going to stick to? And what?
I said, bingo, that's the sweet spot right there.
That is a sweet spot. And you ask, and I guess our comparison is always back to macronutrients, right? Which as far as I know, macronutrients have never changed. You know, like there's always going to be 9 calories per gram fat. And like, that's not changing, but guess what did just change? Weight Watchers. So how is that sustainable? If that is a method that actually doesn't have a backbone itself historically.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And it's, to me, my theory, while I've never heard this confirmed, so for anybody listening, do not quote me on this, but if I had to give you my hot take, what I believe the theory behind changing the point system is that macronutrients and the concept of points with Weight Watchers. First, let me back up and say this. Where is the disconnect? The point system does not explain what goes into creating the points, AKA the points are a gamified way to look at calories, but then it doesn't go the deeper level to provide the education on what the heck a macronutrient is. Now, I know your audience is probably well-versed on what it actually is, but let's just leave it at this to establish so that everybody can kind of follow the rest of this. Macronutrients are the actual nutritional value of your food. So one of the reasons why we as macro-based coaches do not care about calories as much is because what I describe to my clients is essentially like an outline of a paper. So if you have an outline of a paper, at the very top of that outline, outline, you have this header and it says calories. And then as you're building the outline of the paper, you might have a subsection A and that says macronutrients. And then we have another subsection underneath it. Let's say it's some Roman numeral. That's where we get into protein, carbs, and fat. Now, when you're writing the paper, you have to have those mini subsections to also get back to the top. Hence why the relationship is inverse in that calories equal macros and macros equal calories. But where's the problem with Weight Watchers? I did not in the last 25 seconds use the word points. So the points piece is to try to simplify everything I just said. And I think that is admirable. And I really want to emphasize that point. I do think there's a lot of value in coming up with more of a quote unquote fun and simplified way to look at it. But then what happens to people? At some point in your life, you're probably not going to give a flying fuck about points anymore. You're not going to use the Weight Watchers app. And then you don't have a vocabulary that is universal, because what are you going to do? Walk around and be like, oh, that chicken is 2 points. Well, what if you're not currently tracking your points? That's totally arbitrary. And not to mention the points change. So how do we keep track of that? Right? Now, to get back to that point, what I was going to say was my theory is that similar to the whole danger zone of if it fits your macros, where at some points people were like really kind of perverting the use of macros to be like, you can eat a donut, you can eat pizza, you can eat this as long as you hit your protein. I think Weight Watchers went through something similar. So what they did was they noticed that people were not filling up their points with the best quality foods. So they decided to make chicken and vegetables free points or 0 points in an effort to encourage more consumption of that. And I can get behind that because, and I have no confirmation of this. This is just purely my theory. But here's where I think that comes from. At the end of the day, I tell my clients this all the time. No one gets fat off of eating too many strawberries, right? Like that's not where this comes from. So if you think about chicken and veggies, that is a seafood and ideally it should probably only be 0 points, but guess what? Where do we run into trouble? Nobody's eating plain vegetables. So then come talk to me about olive oil, seasonings, dressings, and same goes for chicken. Nobody's eating straight up boiled chicken breast. Bodybuilders aren't even doing that anymore these days. So it just doesn't translate to real life. I just don't see how Weight Watchers can help you long-term to go out to eat, to navigate the gray areas. But I could also say, and will fully admit that the same could be said for food tracking with the macronutrient lens, but that's where coaching becomes an assist for you to learn how to navigate the estimations, for you to learn how to navigate the vacations, for you to decide when it's important to track your food. I imagine this podcast will probably come out in the middle of the holiday season. Thanksgiving will have come and gone, but maybe we'll be close to Christmas. I don't know what your schedule is going to be with all this, but with that in mind, what everyone needs to start thinking about now is if you struggle during the holidays, you struggle because one, you got a lot of work to do on your relationship with food. And two, you don't have the support system in place to teach you that there is moderation. There is a time and a place for enjoying certain foods. It's just figuring out how those foods fit into the bigger picture and then defining what the bigger picture is. The bigger picture might be a day, but it also probably is a week, a year, 6 months, and your coach can come in to help you have the capacity and the skill set to actually zoom out and create that perspective for yourself so that you're not down in the weeds looking at things like, oh my God, on this day I was like 52 calories over, or oh my God, I didn't bring my food scale to my grandma's for Thanksgiving. So this is totally going to derail my progress. Right. It's not. You're going to be okay.
Amen, dude. Like, oh, bring the reality to the Messy Action podcast. Yes. I'm freaking loving it.
You want to talk about messy action, right? Like the gray area is the messy action.
Absolutely. And it's the fucking reality of it. And I think like, I don't want to talk too much more about Weight Watchers because honestly, it is just not a thing that we encounter.
It is what it is.
Here, yeah. But it is what it is. We're not changing it. I think that the, what do you want to call it? The metaphor you brought with like the paper. I freaking love that, looking at macronutrients, because I do have a lot of clients who still come to me, or, you know, potential people I'm talking to on Instagram that are like, tracking macros is too hard. That's what I'm hearing a lot of the times, right? And what I just posted yesterday on my Instagram was that hard, quote unquote, I'm doing that on on camera, is a perception, right?
Hold on.
At the beginning of your journey, yes, that is hard. For me, at the beginning of my journey, going to the gym once a week was hard, right? This this version and this variation of hard is going to grow with you, but not if you decide to quit on it. And that is what happens often. Mm. We're talking about macronutrients, when we're talking about Weight Watchers, whatever you're deciding to embark on, your cup of tea, go for it, girl. It's going to be hard. Okay. And that's what I'm sick of doing. That's why I brought you on this podcast today, honestly, dude, because I knew you bring the raw and the real. And I think so much of that is needed back in the space. And I'm tired of like kind of mending to this whole like, I'm going to say it, but balance. I love balance. Yes. Clients know I fucking love balance, but balance has been perceived to be also equated to easy. Like, yes, this journey should be easy. No. This journey should be simple. And that's where we're getting things just messed up.
Totally. I don't know if you saw, simple and easy aren't necessarily the same thing. Eventually it can get easy, but I have two really good examples of this to bring up. And I will just acknowledge and say, we keep it real and raw. I mentioned being from New Jersey. It's literally in my blood. Like, I used to live in Charlotte, North Carolina, as I mentioned in talking about my post-grad days. And as a side story, before I get into these examples, I was previously engaged and I was going to marry someone who grew up in North Carolina, pretty Southern, parents were super Southern as well. And I can tell you 100%, his mom was not a fan of how blunt I was when she was more of the, let's call it the bless your heart category, which is a nice way of saying fuck yourself behind your back. And for anybody out there who's listening, who is from the South, don't lie to me. You just laughed at that. And you also know that I'm right. So like, bless your heart is an insult in case anyone didn't know. And I can say that having spent 8 years in the South between Virginia and North Carolina, I know this for sure. So anyways, it's just, I can't operate any other way. I'm also one of three children as the middle child and the only daughter. I really feel that that has added to me being so blunt in finding my space in the world. And I just feel like I've been this way since I could literally talk. And it's
so literally same, by the way. I have brothers and I'm also the second.
Right? I think that says so much about like how you operate and how you see the world and how you find your place and define yourself and everything. So I want to kind of transition that into what you just mentioned about this idea of ease. And I've been thinking about this a lot recently because there's a few things. One, effort, right? Like, think about the word ease and effort. And today I actually did an Instagram live where I talked about this specifically. I have a lot of clients and potential clients who say things to me like, I'm really trying to lose weight, or I'm really trying to hit my macro protocols that you assigned me. This is even speaking to people who are already inside of a program and maybe have just kind of slowed with their progress or hit a few speed bumps or whatever it is. And they say language like that. And I actually had a client just two nights ago on one of our group coaching calls. She was mentioning she had a tough week. There was a lot going on, stress with her kids, lots happening at work, all that sort of thing. And she ended her point with saying, you know, I'm really trying. And I said, I'm actually going to stop you right there. I was like, you're not trying. You are doing more than that because you signed up for this program. You took the time tonight to come on this call. And by the way, she was on the call. It was already 7 o'clock. It was dark out and she's out getting her steps in. And she does that every Tuesday and does not miss. So that was a choice to show up and take that time for herself. So I said, instead of you talking to me about trying, tell me that you're making an effort, because there's a very big difference in that statement. Oh, to God. Say, I'm trying, to me is a damn excuse. Like, it's the mental language that you use with yourself to convince yourself that the thing that you probably should not eat today because it doesn't fit your macros, you need it because emotionally you had a hard day or whatever it is. And I say that, I'm not judging. I would be hypercritical of myself if I really like was judgmental of what I just said. I do that too, but I will also call myself out on my own bullshit all the time. And that's one of the reasons why I, 5 years in of my own journey of tracking and all those things, still have a coach. However, I think that one of the reasons why this trying language and this easy language has just permeated into so much of our culture is a part of a bigger conversation. And that I think may resonate with your audience as athletes. And that is, and this is going to be controversial, but I think we should go there because you brought up balance, the whole participation trophy culture. Unfortunately, the participation trophy culture is now on the come up of ages 20 something and even younger, because I think it's even worse among parents today, unfortunately, And then a lot of people like into my age, I would say I probably was growing up. I know I'm a couple years older than you, but not too much. And I was growing up like when this participation trophy concept just started to come into play. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, either your parents just were super straight with you and lucky you because they're going to raise you to be a better human that way, or you turned a blind eye to it. So I'm going to give an example. It would be your soccer team. You end the season and every single person gets a trophy just for being on the team. That is a bunch of crap. Okay. I get that you signed up for the team, but at age 7, your mom and dad signed you up for the team and you shouldn't be getting a trophy just for showing up for every single game. It's not as simple as that. And now there's this attitude that I think has turned into this total victim culture. And that's really where the controversy comes in, because I think this idea of balance is playing a little bit into this victim culture. Like, I really have a lot of opinions around self-care and how that can turn into an excuse and how people will manipulate these types of trends to say, oh, I can't prescribe to hustle culture because it's not good for me mentally. All of the people who have done something great, do you think that Jeff Bezos gave a fuck about this idea of hustle culture? It wasn't even in his vocabulary. Same goes for Elon Musk. Same goes for somebody like Alex Hormozi. I know he would be sitting here like bashing the shit out of this too. I listen to a lot of people like Andy Frisella. I know where he stands on this, and he's a lot of my opinion on it as well. It's like, we are cultivating individuals, and as business owners, I'm sure you can resonate with this. You get to a point where you're like, why are there no good people to hire? And that's a bad way to view the world. But I don't think it's our fault. I think it's because there is this cultural upbringing of saying everybody wins, everybody gets a trophy. That's right. Not life. Like, life isn't fair. And ultimately, I think the fitness industry and the wellness space latched onto that theory by calling it balance. And here's what I'm going to say on balance. When you want to be good at something, you cannot have balance for some period of time. And what I find with the Fitness Fix clients in particular, we were discussing this, and just to kind of clarify for the listener so they know the type of person I work with versus yours, the type of person I work with is a few years older than your typical clientele, and maybe even as in their 60s too, because I do have some clients that are dealing with menopause and things like that. But they're typically the mom who has for years and years poured from such an empty cup because she believes that it is her duty to take care of her children at all costs. I think that is super fucking admirable. But I also think that's why this whole idea of balance has gotten to be as big as it is, because that woman is so burnt out. She's exhausted. She's like clinging at the idea of balance and she wants it so bad. But guess what? She's never had it because she was taught the following: being selfish makes you a bad mom. And that is not true. So that's something that we really try to reverse with a lot of our mom clients inside of our program, and ultimately are showing them this isn't about macros. This isn't about going to the gym. This isn't about a protein goal. This is about, do you have good time management and can you set better boundaries? Because those are the two roadblocks that people face in preventing them from actually being consistent with tracking their food and being consistent in the gym. It has nothing to do with the mechanism of the macros, to tie it all the way back to what we just kicked this off to talk about, is like, we can sit here all day long and assign somebody macros, but our job as coaches is to figure out why they're not hitting them. And it's usually from what I just mentioned. It's from, you know, thinking that like they don't have the capacity to do these things. And then you latch on to balance as an excuse and you're like, oh, balance, I'm going to eat the donut. Oh, balance, I'm going to have the burger. I love burgers. I eat burgers twice a week. But you want to know why that's balance? Because I also work my ass off in the gym. I'll push myself with the weight that I use so that I know that that burger that I'm eating, not saying I earned it, but I know there's a time and a place for it because it fits within my macros. And ultimately, I think that balance is BS, because anything you want to be really amazing at some stage for some season is going to need 150% effort. And I've seen that in my own life in the past year. I will be the first person to say that my own fitness and nutrition goals have not been top priority. But to be honest, I don't really care to a degree because I'm so proud of my business and I'm so proud of what I've been able to do. And I have taken full ownership that I have no right to be frustrated about anything with my physique because yeah. I've chosen the 1 a.m. night to work on my podcast instead of getting the extra 2 hours of sleep that I do know I need, but I'm doing it for the sake of, I am now at a point with the conversation you and I had before we hit record, I'm getting closer to finding that balance. I have a team in place that can do things for me that I know that the ship will move forward and continue to run. So I can go to the gym and not feel like, oh my God, I'm glued to my phone. And that's me having bad boundaries. So it does come back to the time management and boundaries conversation. So if you want shit to be simple, this is your solution. Have better time management, create a schedule, time block, use your calendar. For all the athletes out there that work with Courtney and work with Rise and listen to the Messy Action podcast because Courtney's story resonates with yours, let's remind you, as when you were a D1 athlete or a D3 athlete, I've seen it with my friends. My own brother played D3 lacrosse. That kid was busy as hell. And he was so regimented in college compared to the average person, like somebody like me, where he had a schedule, he had work study time, he had to do his homework at specific times. Like, you have the skills. So if you're struggling now a year or two out of school, it's because you're allowing these new life stressors to take over what wasn't there before. And you're forgetting that you actually do know how to handle it. And I think part of that is coming back to everything we just said, like this participation trophy culture, the my mom's going to help me solve this sort of culture. And it's like, that doesn't work. And I promise you, if you want to be successful, you can't have that mentality.
Oh, Krista, you killed that. I can shut the laptop now.
Right? But like, honestly, we can end the episode.
Literally, that's all we need. That's all that has needed to be said in just the whole industry as a whole, not even just for our former athletes, but for everyone. Balance has been such a up and coming thing in the last 2 years. And I think something that you really said that hit hard for me is just the victim mentality that is surrounding trying to grab results within your health and fitness journey, right? It is just, oh, woe is me. Like, I should be able to have grace with myself in this journey. And the balance has just been so misconstrued that it's become more of that like hashtag balance like mentality versus an actual teeter totter, right? Yes. That shows us real balance. Like, if you put something on, it's going to go up. So therefore you have to put another something on, like actual balance. And that is, you know, that could be in a daily situation. That could be more in the seasons that you're talking about, right? Maybe right. My whole season is actually unbalanced. That could be months of time where I'm going all in on my business. I'm going all in on my fitness. I'm going all in on my cut. But that doesn't mean in that season, I'm wrong for wanting something so bad that it's my season of sacrifice.
Right.
It's okay. But it more so of a victim mentality, like, well, how I look at it is almost like this entitlement to results. It's like
100%.
I'm working hard, therefore I should see results. So then you hear clients being like, Courtney, it's been 2 months. Like, what is going on? Courtney, it's been 1 month. What is going on? Why am I not? I'm working so hard. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. And I'm like, you're doing nothing wrong except for asking that question.
Literally nothing. Like, and that's, I'm so glad you brought up the word entitlement, because I think that's the other piece of this is like this victimhood, this desire for balance. It's created this thought process that you deserve that. You deserve these certain set of results just because you're working hard. And the way that I broach this with our clients and really try to challenge them and push back a little bit is, okay, what you're implying to me by saying, where are the results, is that you don't actually plan to commit to these actions for the rest of your life. And if that's your thought process right now, then sorry, dude, but you're not going to be able to maintain this, because right now, when we talk about, so inside of our program, we take pretty much everybody through a reverse diet, and we call that our fuel phase. And the whole intention of the fuel phase is to get you used to eating more food. But more specific to that, going back to some of these concepts around what we were saying with boundaries and time management, I like to remind clients, it's actually your opportunity to practice the way you will show up post diet and for forever. So if you're not cool with what you're doing right this second, we need to take a step back. And yes, I know you want the results. Yes, it's motivating. And we could go into a whole nother podcast about motivation and discipline, but just to keep us with this thought, it's really getting you to recognize that the reason why the past attempts did not work for you is you saw them as just these finite moments that you were going to move away from once you got to this goal. And I'm super passionate about this subject matter in particular, because that was me. My first experience where I walked everybody through this whole idea of like the weekend warrior stuff, I did hire a coach. And eventually in working with that coach, I had a really awesome transformation. I mean, I got to the point where I got the abs that I said I should have. I lost about 15 pounds and it happened quick, like within 12 weeks. I also was a newbie to a lot of things because I never really lifted the way I had started to lift. I was obsessed with training and it became my whole personality to the point where I then decided to pursue group fitness as a career to get that transition from being in finance and sitting behind a desk to then going into the fitness industry full time. And, you know, I was overlooking the fact that like I was walking like 20,000 steps a day because I had this training job where I was teaching 5-6 classes in a row. My BMR was just insane and I didn't know it because I didn't understand those things. So I lose a bunch of weight really quickly. I also lost a decent amount of muscle to the point where I look back at those photos now. I'm like, who's a skinny bitch? Like I'm like jacked in comparison. Yeah. I'm like that like looks skinny to me compared to like now I'm like thick thighs. Like, and I like that about myself and I appreciate that. However, I always tell clients if there's one thing I could rewrite about my story and do over again, I had this relationship to working with a coach to be so finite that I only hired the coach for these 12-week periods where I specifically wanted to do a cut. So when the program ended after 12 weeks, the program also was not designed to encourage me to stay inside of it, to continue to track, to learn how to maintain, to slowly practice intuitive eating. So what did I do? I would stop tracking, see the weight that I wanted to hit, drop a few dress sizes, whatever the heck. And then I would fast forward 12 weeks later. And what do you think happened? Gained all the way back, only to then rehire the coach to start the same process all over again. And I would utilize that coach like for specific events. So like I knew at one point I was about to get engaged. I hired the coach again. Then I got engaged. I was planning a wedding for over a year. I hired the coach again. And it was just never for this pursuit of the in-between. And really that's where I came up with this concept of being in a reverse diet, being in a maintenance phase and having a coach's support to take you along that journey is practicing so that in the long run, you do not need me and you won't come back to me 1 year later to remove and try to lose the same 15 pounds that we worked so hard to get off in the first place. And it's just like, it's something that I would kick myself for if like people ask about regrets. That was such a regret for me that now that is a non-negotiable inside of our program because it can be avoided. Like I'm not blaming the coach. But if that coach had upsold me to be like, hey girl, stay with me for another 6 months, I probably wouldn't have eventually, in full transparency, I got to a point where I canceled that engagement, called off the wedding. I quit my job. I moved back home from Charlotte to Jersey. My life felt like it was completely falling apart. And then I gained 45 pounds. And since then, it has been a challenge to ebb and flow between losing 20 of those pounds to then maintain. But what's gotten me through it and allowed me to have more of an appreciation for my body is I've continued to work with 2 more nutrition coaches in that time. And I see them as like permanent coaches in my life. They're there for me to have them, to hold me accountable, to help me come up with a system for goals. Because what do? I tend to get really focused on a business goal and I will allow that to trump some of those other things because it's really important to me. And because let's be frank, like I'm a single girl. I need to take care of myself. I need to put food on the table. Like I want to make sure I got money. So like, I can't
gotta do it,
right? Somebody's got to do it. And I also don't want to be one of those girlies that's like, let me hurry up and be in another relationship because I need somebody to take care of me. Like no knock if that's what you desire, but that's just not who I am. Right. And that's actually a huge reason why I left my last relationship because I saw myself becoming that person and it's not aligned and it's never been who I wanted to be. I didn't want to be the barefoot in the kitchen like that. I have no, like there's people who want that and that's what they aspire to. And that's amazing. And you'll raise a beautiful family, but that was only going to be a piece of what I wanted for myself. And my partner wasn't fully aligned with like the vision of what our relationship might look like if I had a career and even ran a business and how he and our future family would fit into that. So to kind of walk us all the way back to how we started talking about this, like idea of like the messy spots, right? One of the biggest lessons that I've had is having the coach through the messy, messy moments are the best times to have the coach, because then you can actually navigate it with your coach's support versus putting these things into a box. I would always take my fitness and nutrition and put it over here and then put the rest of my life over there, only to now realize like 4 years later that they needed to come together, because the reason why I wouldn't get the results I wanted was because I was trying way too hard to separate them. And that's why I think the ballast thing is BS. Like, you're going to have certain plates that you're juggling. I just had a podcast guest on who said this a couple weeks ago, and I love the way he said it. And he's a new dad, and he gave a really good perspective. He's like, you're not going to have balance because there's always going to be one area that at that point you got to lift that plate a little bit higher. But where a coach comes in is to help you figure out how to not drop the four other plates. They can lower. So for example, if you're normally a 5 days a week in the gym kind of person, but then you get assigned to some big project, your travel increases, or you have a big life event like moving or a child, let's just take you down to 3 days a week. Is it going to be the same goal that you set for yourself before that project or that move showed up? Of course not. But yeah, working out 3 days a week is still going to move you in the direction you want to go. And to me, that's how I define this concept of messy action, is like just being okay with making that adjustment and then going full send on that. Like you referenced, I love your season of sacrifice. And I love when you're in one of those and you post about it, because I think it's such a great terminology. And I think it's important to acknowledge the way we got into this whole rant here is like, yeah, you mentioned that you're okay with like being dedicated to your cut, being dedicated to certain things in your business. But let's be super clear. When you're super dedicated in your cut, the rest of Courtney's life doesn't stop, whether she likes it or not. Like, she can decide to be like, I'm all in on my cut, so I'm not going to go on date night with my fiance. And then what's going to happen? Andrew's going to come in and be like, we need to go on a date night because I feel like I'm not connecting with you. And he's going to make you pull yourself back into that, right? But right, what do you do if you're taking messy action? You go look at the restaurant menu, you look at the freaking options, and you figure out something that's going to fit your macros. And that's how you make it happen.
Amen. You absolutely slayed that once again. Woo. Bringing it back to the very beginning of that rant, though, I love the question that sparked the whole thing, right? Was, what if a client comes to you and just says, this is too freaking hard? And you're like, I want to rush to the cut. I want that season of sacrifice. And your initial reaction was, well, sounds like you're not committed to what we're doing right now for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
I love that so much. Going to take that and run with it so hard. Because the mundane is where it's at, right? And as
the not sexy stuff,
the not sexy stuff, the not competitive stuff, the not performance stuff, right? And like, the former athletes do struggle with that because they want the all in. They want that season of sacrifice always, 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 but it's never really that. Like, it is very briefly that. And I think that that's,
That's like the shortest part, right? Like, if you think about a cut, it's actually one of the, if you're going to do it in a way that we can promise you it'll be really effective, you're better off getting the fuck in there and getting right back out within 10 weeks. Like, do I do 16 week cuts with some of my clients? Yes. But I find more success for the ones who are doing like 8 to 10, and then we pull out of it and we didn't even need to necessarily always drop their macros that low. But guess what? They're more compliant. They have better adherence. They're happier the entire time. We take a pause. We go back into maintenance. We could do a quick, another round of maintenance for 10 weeks and then, or even six, and then they could do a cut again, if it makes sense for the timeline of whatever else you have going on in your life. But like, I'd love your take on this, because this is that hard piece of like, oh, this is too hard. What I always remind clients is like, if you do not show me that you can do this when it technically is easier because I am giving you permission to eat more food, why in the world do you think it's going to be any better when I take your food away? Because if we're going into a cut, I'm going to take your food down. So if you can't demonstrate to me and yourself, you're already shooting yourself in the foot. You're already guaranteeing that it's going to be that much harder. And where, you know, I think you'd have a really interesting perspective, especially from the athlete perspective, is like, something that we notice with our clients a lot is like, they put these like calorie deficit phases, we call it our focus phase, up on a pedestal. Like, it's like, you have to get there. And like, they think it's like cool to be there. And I'm like, sister, you have never done a cut before, because it's not cool. Like,
I don't want to be there.
Yeah. There's nothing fun about it. Like, it's like, yes, it's, I get that. It's like, you're super happy to see the results and you feel great at the end of the 8 weeks or the 10 or whatever, but like, it's not that shiny once you actually go through it one time. So I don't know why people are that way. I don't fully understand it. My only take is like, maybe it's because they know that's where like the gratification is going to come in because the scale will consistently move, but they forget and neglect like just how much body recomp can happen when they're actually focused on recovery and nourishing their body. So what kind of things are you talking with your clients about that? Cause I'm sure that comes up with your athletes who are like so fixated on the goal and like getting into the hard stuff.
Oh, hardcore. And you know, that's why we created our phases in the first place. Like similarly, how you take everyone through a reverse diet, our phase is called Rise. Inevitably, they're going to rise from the ground, right? And then we go into the peak phase, and our athletes, 100%, they're so stoked to get to that peak phase. They want to be there. It's always the topic of conversation. And honestly, like transparently, sometimes there's some competitiveness within our team because someone else is in a peak phase and they're like, well, why aren't I there? Right? There's that comparisonitis comes up in our team, and not in a bad way. We just have very competitive girls. Like everyone is rooting for everyone, but at the same time, they're their own worst critics every single time. And I love your point where it's like, well, why would I put you in there if we can't even stick to the basics in the messier times, right? And you brought up, you hired your own coach when things were chaotic, things were crazy. And I get a lot of girls that come to me being like, I want to work with you, Courtney. I want a one-on-one coach, but now it's just not a good time. Like I'm going through this, this, and this, and this. And I'm like, great. Sounds like it's a perfect time.
Yeah, because exact opposite like thought process should be put into place. And I promise, like I said, that's one of my biggest regrets. Like the times when I described the situation of gaining the 45 pounds, it was because I had not been working with a coach and I had no handle on what I wanted to do with my career. That started affecting me mentally. And then that brought out a really bad relationship with food. And then, like I said, I made these massive decisions and shifts in my life to the point where I was in a headspace where, quite frankly, I thought that focusing on my macros was very like white girl problems, in the sense that I'm sitting here blowing up my life from my perspective, giving the ring back, moving, doing all these things. COVID then starts to unfold. So I really don't even know what's going to happen with the fitness industry. I'm like, I should go back into finance. I don't know what to do. That was actually when I eventually started my podcast. But at the time, I just had this just constant thought in my head that it was so silly of me to give a shit about protein intake when my world was falling apart. And if I had had a coach, I don't think I would have had that perspective, because I think I would have had the voice in my head telling me, hey, you have a lot that's not in your control right now. You're trying, but you're also not taking care of yourself. I had major insomnia. I wasn't sleeping, was really depressed. And I couldn't connect the fact that if I just focused on training and moving my body and gave myself something to do on a daily basis to create routine, I would have gotten out of that feedback loop so much faster and I wouldn't have gained the weight that I did. But I felt like I didn't deserve that. And I've actually learned from working with my most recent coach, and I have a male coach now, and I think it's been interesting for me because he just has a really different perspective on things. He pointed out to me recently, he's like, I don't know if you trust yourself. And I sat with him saying that to me and I was like, damn, he's right. I don't. And part of the reason why I don't trust myself is because I know what it's like to have this rebound of gaining a lot of weight really fast. And I hated how it felt. So at some point in the last couple of years, I've told myself the same story that a lot of my clients do of like, well, as long as I'm successful in this area, it doesn't matter if I'm not successful in this other one, because I feel really good. For example, I feel really good about my brand growing and my podcast, and I'm putting all my eggs into that so I can justify putting my fitness on the back burner. But what I realized I was actually doing is like, I'm putting off being able to earn my own deficit because I don't think that I have the headspace and the willpower right now to be successful in one, AKA I don't trust my ability to do it. So I'd much rather just kind of like float without a goal and just like kind of sort of track my macros, kind of sort of go to the gym 4 days a week so that he keeps telling me, hey, you're not ready for a deficit because I didn't earn it. And it's so true. And like, he'll just call me out on that. And like, you're right.
You're so right. Barstrop. That's crazy. That's a crazy perspective, honestly. And that's so, so very true. And I think a lot of us have done that to ourselves. Like, we are our own, like, not worst critics, but like, we're self-sabotaging at times. And yes. We don't even know it, subconscious yeah. sometimes. But back to our point, shit, I lost my train of thought. I'm not going to lie.
It's okay. I've been going on such like tangents.
You have so many, bro. I'm like, I need to take fucking notes so I can like come back to them.
It's funny to be in the other side of the seat because I'm so used to being the one listening that it's like, and I actually work really hard. So this is something that I've learned about myself in 3 years of podcasting. When I go back and listen to podcast episodes like 1 through 40, I've realized how much I would interrupt my guest and not allow them to complete the rant the way I currently am. And you do a great job of listening. And I know we talked about this when you first started podcasting and you were asking me like, what are some lessons that you've gotten out of it? But I've really practiced this so much in the last year that when I do get the chance to be on the side of being interviewed and not being the interviewer, I'm like, yes, I can talk. Like, normally I try to just cut it off after like 2 sentences, just so that I can pick up on the thought that the person is wanting to go off on for a few minutes. And when you have guests that really have a lot to say, I love just being able to be like, you go for it. Like, let me hear what you got. But then sometimes I need to take notes because I'm like, oh wait, they made like 6 really good points and I want to hit on all of them. So
literally I'm like, I should have taken working points. You're killing it. I'm actually in love with this episode. Obsessed. I think it's everything my clients need right now and more, and just like the space in general, not even just my clients. Well, shit. Honestly, we can probably wrap it up here.
No worries. Perfect.
Absolutely pee my pants.
And I know we have another call, so it's all good. Give you a little break in between.
Yes. Let me go ahead and I'm going to just kind of like, let you like
perfect
introduce yourself.
Yeah, sure.
Give yourself the like plug, but all right, Krista, my girl, this episode has been literally everything we needed and more here at the Messy Action Podcast. And honestly, thank you, like I just said, the industry as a whole, you killed it. How can my people find you? Because I know that they're going to be running to your pages.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for this. Just in piggybacking off of what we were just saying about being an interviewer versus interviewee, it is really fun to get to do this. And of course, the first thing I'm going to plug is my podcast. I have a podcast that's called The Fix with Krista Huber, and I spell fix FYX because it's Krista with a Y and a K. I know you'll put that all down in the show notes. You can find me on Instagram is the easiest place too. My handle is at the Krista Huber. I'm always open in the DMs. I'd love to hear some of your perspectives on a few of the different things that Courtney and I kind of worked through and talked through. And I can guarantee you that she will be on an episode of The Fix very soon. So we're going to set that up and make that happen and have you come on over and do a little podcast swap, which will be a ton of fun. But I just, again, appreciate you so much. And I love all the things that you're doing. And I love that you jumped into creating a podcast, because from one podcaster to another, it's hard work. And us speaking about things being easy versus hard and what that looks like, right? You at one point took a break from your podcast. Why? Because you had other things that were a priority and they had to be, and that's okay, right? It's okay to put yourself in a position where you really need to reevaluate. And that's what I'd say for anybody listening to this. If you do want to have one thing to take away, I would hope it's that. It's look for the approach that is going to be flexible. It's going to be fluid. And it's something that you can just take little bits and pieces from depending on the season that you're in. And if any of that jives with you, then you will love the messaging and the content that we do share over at the Fitness Fix. So I would love for you guys to come check us out and hang out.
Amazing, Krista. You killed it. I do have one question. I do.
Yeah.
Inconsistently ask my guests, but I really like it. I want to bring it back. What is something that you're taking messy action on at this current moment?
Oh, that's a great question. Oh, I have to think. I am such a programmed person with a lot of my life. Mm-hmm. So I will actually say it's a little bit of my fitness journey, but I'll be a little more specific. So I alluded to this earlier in the episode. I mentioned that I used to really love working out, and I just don't love it as much as I used to. And frankly, I think it's because I'm busy. And so I may be in my computer, like in the zone, and I just don't want to get up. And you've been posting about this actually with you going to the gym at 5 a.m. And you mentioned how it just makes more sense to you because you know it's going to be dark at night. Yeah. I resonate with that 1,000%. But this is where I'm specifically taking messy action. I have kind of stopped going into the gym with the intention of tracking my weight on what I'm lifting. I have a program that I follow, but it's basic AF. I'm talking like 4 exercises, 2 supersets each, 2 upper body and 2 lower body days. And I mean, like, I am simply deadlifting, hamstring curls, leg extensions, and a glute bridge. And that is it. There's nothing fancy about it. I will do the same program for 6 months. And it's solely because I feel that I have so many other things going on in my life that for me, if I simplify the elements, it's going to help me get myself there.
Yeah.
And something that I do when I'm in a funk, and I feel like I've been in this funk recently because I've had travel, I've had interruptions, and I find that I have to like really talk myself into going to the gym. And there's a past version of me that wouldn't have been okay with the workouts that I just described because I would have thought they weren't enough. And I also would have thought I had to be in the gym for longer, but I kind of cap it at 45 minutes and whatever I get done, I'm good with it. And I just go based off of feeling. And that is like so different for me because I used to really keep track like, okay, like this week on my lat pull down, I did X. So yeah, the next week I got to add 5 pounds. I don't do it that way. And I've actually found I have built so much more strength by not really fixating on the numbers. And I also play a game with myself. That's a little tip. If you need messy action when you go to the gym, if I've fallen off for a couple weeks, I will make myself a deal in my head. And I say, okay, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to drive there. It takes like 10 minutes. I'll walk inside. I will do a longer dynamic warm-up, maybe even foam roll a little bit, because I know that'll make me feel better. And then I compromise and I say in my head, I'm only going to commit to the first set for 12 reps. And that's it. And if I complete that, I can walk out. Like I give myself permission to say, I do not have to stay in the gym if I do at least that much. So the warm up, a little foam roll, and those first 12 reps. It's a total hack because for any of you who work out regularly, we all know that by the time you get to that 12th rep, you're so glad you're there. So you don't leave.
Yeah. And you're going to finish it.
Yeah. That's my way of taking that messy action. And like, I used to be like 2 days on, 1 day off, 2 days on, 1 day off. It doesn't fucking happen that way for me. And that is okay. Like if in the span of 10 days, I can get 5 workouts in, that's like the pinnacle. And if in the span of 10 days, I get 4 or I get 3, awesome. And I'm good with it. And I know that when I'm ready, I'll be able to dedicate more time to that. And that's okay.
Krista, I love that we're ending the podcast on this because I think this truly depicts the whole thing and what we talked about with balance, right? You are ebbing and flowing in your fitness journey. Your fitness journey is not always going to look the same. No. And I think that we put this pressure on ourselves, especially again, as a former athlete, that yeah, we have to be in that 2 day of like every single day mentality. We have to be on our shit all the time, but that's just not necessarily the truth. And guys, Krista, like she's mentioned, is grinding in her podcast, in her career. So you guys might not fully see the flip side of everything, but this girl works hard on literally to 1 a.m. like grinding. So yeah, her fitness doesn't look the same right now. And that is actual balance. And I think the most beautiful way to end this episode. Thanks.
What a good way to tie it back together. I didn't even think of that. So I'm glad that you had that takeaway from it. So thank you.